I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 511, Ad Astra.
Yep.
Did I miss it?
What does that mean?
Do you know why they called it that?
I have no idea.
Okay, I didn't care enough to Google it, so yeah. So
I kept waiting for it to pop up, like, you know.
It wasn't the name of the ship or anything?
No.
Right. I don't think so.
The ship was like called the Syphilis. It was called like Cephalus. Like when I looked at his arm patch thing, I'm like, that's a weird name for a syphilis? Huh?
Well, maybe by in the future it becomes
like
a good thing.
Cephalus or something.
Snuffleupagus. They should have called it Dad Astra. So before we jump in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Store, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, while you're there, subscribe so you never miss an episode. It just makes your life that much easier. It's just a gift we make available to you, and by we, I mean every podcast service out there. also, don't forget, you can find us on Facebook if you want to tell us how wrong we are.
Me? Oh, it's coming.
It's about me
lately.
It's always
not this
me.
One.
Well, Joe's not really, on Joe is really taking a breath of relief lately.
But, well, I'm sure after my Rambo tirade,
yeah, I know.
I'm sure I'll get plenty of it. So you can do that at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And don't forget our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content and the pride of knowing that you helped us out.
Indeed.
So there, we've done all that. Ad Astra.
You know, I'm always a fan of when science fiction actually deals with like science and it's not, oh, aliens or Terminators or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Actually dealing with real science.
So science fact.
Not like, I mean, sure.
But like the ones that are a little bit more grounded in reality.
Yeah, because I feel like science fiction has just devolved into
action movies.
Aliens and things, sure. You know what I mean?
This is science fiction.
This is smart
only
science
because,
fiction.
Yeah. Because this is an idea of what the future could be like.
Right.
Space travels more mainstream. People are living on different planets. So the science fiction is grounded in the science we have now, but it's expanded to what the future could be, and that's the fiction.
It's
part
not
of
like
it.
Elysium or Chappie or, you know, I'm just picking two really bad movies.
This is a possible future.
At some
this
point.
This is not a crazy, aliens and different things with guns running around and smuggling whatever on some adventure. This is a possible future for people possibly living on the moon, which they are talking about. They have Virgin space shuttles, which Virgin is set up, I think, to be the first commercial trip to space. Like, that is something that Richard Branson has been working on for some time now. Mm. So, I mean, this is a real possible future based on our current reality. And so, sure, I mean, just like all futuristic movies, they don't always get it 100%.
Well, like
accurate,
Gravity
but,
or, you know, things like that. Like when
well, that's more grounded in the present. I mean, this is in the future.
Yes.
It says near future, but it's like the advancements are pretty wild.
Given where our current political climate is, I think this is in the far future.
I felt like, I don't know, we're going to have Space Force.
Space Force,
any day
now.
I felt like they tried to have it both ways with the whole near future thing.
Yeah.
Because they're like, the near future And but you figure by what they got, you got to be at least
it's way evolved,
at least
yeah.
30 years.
That's why, yeah, right. That's
but,
why I didn't
so
like they
when
put
they
that,
showed
but...
the flashbacks of the old pictures of Tommy Lee Jones.
Right.
It was like, well, these look like it should be like in the 50s and 60s when really.
It should have been course, like
it should have
2010.
It should have been like yeah, like maybe the 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think the only reason they set it up like that because they didn't want to be like, oh, this is 3019. It's not 1,000
right.
years in the future.
Sure.
Near meaning a few decades away
right.
or something. But that's why I think they set it up with enough fact to where it's possible this could be the future in 30 years because
right.
of all the things that they're planning. And again, who's to say that it really will? But it is believable. Like to your point, Joe, where it's grounded enough in current science where you're like, wow, yeah, I mean, if we did start doing this, then could have these moon colonies. And yeah, I really like where they explored how, you know, they're still doing the same crap up there.
It's
they wanted to get away from down here. It's
right.
Cool,
kind of like
that's what would happen. It
totally.
Would be businesses,
yeah. Like
yeah.
you go up there and you can still go to a subway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it's kind of
yeah.
like her where like her was like just far enough out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, I could see it,
but you
yeah.
can see it all.
Yeah.
yeah
right.
Absolutely.
Right. So the movie is basically it's a one man show. This is the Brad Pitt show all day, and he does a great job. Like
played
he,
a really good detached character.
Yeah,
it's all about
yeah,
him and his emotions.
For me, he did. I'm yeah. not. But for me, that was also the problem I had with the movie
is that he was so
is
detached.
That he's so detached. I ended up feeling detached.
Okay. That's the same complaint. I saw it with Katie and my mom. They yeah. both said, like, I didn't care enough about him because
yeah.
he was so, like, he wasn't likable to where to me, like,
I didn't think he was unlikable.
He wasn't
unlikable,
but he wasn't
likable. Like, if he is so bland and doesn't care about anything, to their point, like, trying to put it into words, I can see how you wouldn't necessarily be rooting for him or care
right.
about him because he doesn't care about anything.
Yeah, I wasn't
but
rooting against
mission.
Him. I wasn't sitting there watching the movie like, ugh.
But
I was
he's
just...
in danger. Do you care about him? Do
Man,
you, you
all
know,
I could
like...
think was when they're, and I mean, I know it's coming up, but when they're on the moon,
yeah,
and I'm like, we're having a car chase and shootout.
Man, that was cool.
On the moon.
Yeah.
And I wanted to feel like that was
oh,
cool.
Oh, I did think it was cool.
But I was like, I know like in like intellectually this is cool, but
right.
it wasn't like it wasn't grabbing me because he's so like, oh, now I'm getting chased on the moon. Hang on, let me slide over in the driver's seat because this guy just got shot.
That's I think that's yeah. the problem people are going to have. I mean, he, in a sense, is this cool, calm, and collected character. He does everything intellectually. He keeps his heart rate down. It's all about the mission and him being the best man for the job because he controls his emotions. But also, as an audience, it is harder to
yeah.
connect with someone.
It's not like in an action movie way. Like, we've seen characters like that before that always have the right answer and always stay calm and while things are going crazy around them. But yeah, it's not like in this action movie way to where like somehow you're still brought into his internal monologue or you kind of bond with him to where like, yeah, we are the smartest guy in the room or
right.
whatever. Like, it's like,
no,
it's,
he's more boring. Like,
yeah,
he's
I don't know. I
right.
see, that's where I think that he is that way through like the first half, I guess. But when he, so basically what the deal is that he is the greatest astronaut that ever lived, or he's the son of the greatest astronaut that
yeah.
ever lived. And he's just as good. And basically there have been, he is, like you said, he is so detached from life on Earth that like his wife leaves him, who is played by the ever lovely Liv Tyler, who we don't see enough of.
Isn't she in
Armageddon?
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
So it's like when I saw her,
I love
like,
you, Harry.
I sometimes like, okay, she's in such a minuscule role. That could have been anyone.
Right.
Totally.
She's in flashback.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a tiny,
she,
tiny
well,
role.
She's in a flashback and then she shows back up at the end.
She,
but I don't
she,
disagree.
This
yet.
Could have been anybody. You didn't need Liv Tyler to where I was just like, that's too cutesy. I mean, she's in Armageddon, which is a very popular
You think it was a cutesy casting choice? Or you think it was just
why
like,
did they think of Liv Tyler for that role? It could have been anybody.
I don't think it was like a purposeful nod to Armageddon.
But why did
but
they even think of her for that role?
Hard
it's like
not to think of yes. Animal Crackers when she's in a movie like this.
Why Animal Crackers?
Because he like that's the movie where
oh
he does
yeah.
dances a little animal
I'm
crackers
with you, I'm
across
with you, I'm
her.
With you, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, it's not a huge thing. I just to me, I'm like, why you could have picked anybody? Why pick Liv Tyler? It's in one of these famous space action movies. I just
right.
thought that was an odd choice.
Infamous?
But.
I would say it's more infamous than famous. Armageddon's a garbage movie.
Thought that was a pretty popular movie,
but it was
though.
A very popular yeah. movie.
Yeah.
Gross. So he basically is completely undetached from
undetached.
unattached.
Detached.
He's detached. Unattached.
Undetached. I'm like, wait.
From the real world. And he basically lives his life going for mission. Like, his life consists of just missions. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. So there are these solar flares. No, just flares, I guess. Or electrical storms that are threatening the Earth.
Well, they call them pulses.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But they look like electrical storms. So they're just like knocking things out. And
they're surges.
Surges, yeah. And it's wreaking havoc on the Earth.
It's from Neptune. They trace it back.
Has there ever been a movie that went to Neptune? Have we ever seen Neptune on film?
No, because no one goes there, and we're not there.
So that was one of the coolest things about this movie. And I was like, I wouldn't.
Because this is set up in the future, and now they're exploring.
We've already gone out.
They're exploring future from, we haven't even gone to the first step. Like, they're living on the moon in these colonies. And so now they're going from the moon to Mars, and Mars communicates to Neptune.
Right.
But we're not on Mars, but they're on Mars.
Event Horizon featured Neptune.
Did
somewhat.
It? Oh, yeah. Man, that's a crazy movie.
Yeah. But
you
yeah,
have you ever seen that?
Yeah, that's
Sam Neill and Larry Larry Fishburne.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
There's apparently a crazy director's cut, but it was lost.
I have it. Oh.
Well, there's like a more violent cut because I think they made it PG-13.
Oh, I definitely saw a rated R cut.
Really? Or there's some like hyper violent. I just read about it recently that apparently the cut was lost, but it's like they found it in this like destroyed. Just like in a barn or something, but it was all destroyed. It's like it's not salvageable at all.
Oh,
but like
sucks.
It's out there, this crazy cut where it's even
I don't know
more
how it gets more violent.
Hyper, yeah, apparently the director had a pretty crazy vision for it.
I don't doubt that. Yeah, so he basically we find out that Brad Pitt's dad, played by Tommy Lee Jones,
Dad Astra,
yeah, was sent on this mission to Neptune to do research or to
explore. Is
what
there,
the options are on Neptune?
No, to explore. Are there aliens?
Yeah.
He's looking
for
life.
That's right.
He's looking for intelligent life.
Are we alone?
To Neptune, yeah, because then the message doesn't have to travel as far.
Correct. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
It gives it a edge because it's at the edge of the galaxy.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Looking, you know?
So
this is, just to clarify, this is a sequel to Space Cowboys. Right?
Yeah, I was like, Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
I guess we can't
same
have James
thing,
Garner.
Yeah.
Right.
But same thing I thought. I'm like, so you have Tommy Lee Jones, an astronaut movie, Liv Tyler.
The one where they showed him the orange suit, I'm like, they didn't even Photoshop that. That's just a press photo from Space Cowboys.
I'm like, where's Clint Eastwood? Did Clint Eastwood direct this movie? No. Yeah. All right.
And Ad Astra is Latin for to the stars.
Okay.
Well, there we go. All right.
It's always interesting in movies when they don't explain it to you anywhere. Like,
yeah.
I don't always need a super cutesy name drop, but usually within the context of the movie, you can kind of figure it
right
out.
Sometimes it's too much. Like my favorite, least favorite example is in the movie Doubt.
Oh, that's a good movie.
It's a great movie,
yeah,
except for that last line.
Sure.
Where she literally says, last line of the movie, "Oh, I have such doubt."
Oh.
And I'm like, "What? Well, I like."
Did you have a headache after that?
I was like, just like, "Oh my god, I know." I was just like,
in Spotlight, they just keep saying the name of the thing.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're going to Spotlight. No, we're going to Spotlight. No, give it to Spotlight. That'll be fine.
So yeah, I agree. But it's like in this one, I'm like, I didn't know. I was waiting for it to be like the name of the mission or the space station. You know, I'm like,
yeah,
what is
sure
that Astro? But
yeah. So basically, the upper command of NASA comes to. And the entire time, Brad Pitt is under the assumption that Tommy Lee, his father, is dead.
His father, yes.
That the space that was, it fell apart.
They haven't
whatever,
heard
they
from
haven't
them
heard
in
from
like 16 years.
Right, so
yeah,
he died. So he's lived with that his entire adult life.
Well, and also, like, the dad went on this long-term mission. Like, so, like, the dad left the family. So
yeah,
even though his dad's been assumed dead for 16 years, he was probably gone for 10 or 15 years
before that. Yep. True, 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 true. The higher ups at NASA come to him and they're like, "Look, we think your dad is alive." And Brad Pitt's like, "Let me time out. What are you talking about?" And this is where they show him the picture of like the.
Yeah, they show him like an old video of him talking about.
Whatever
she shows
is
him on a little tablet. Was it Fred Armisen?
No, it's a guy that looks like
no.
Fred.
Oh, it's not Fred
Armisen.
He's
not Fred Armisen from that Keanu Reeves movie.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. What was that?
Because I kept looking. I'm like, is that Fred Armisen?
No. Yeah. The Replicant movie.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah,
because I'm like, it didn't look. I couldn't tell because I kept looking at him like, is that Fred Armisen?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
I know exactly what
right?
it is. Yes,
but,
I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The replicas where he's the scientist
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So this other person in there shows him this video and it's of Tommy Lee Jones talking old man
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, like a more recent one, but they don't actually show anything bad at this point, though.
Because
we're at this
point. Do they know anything bad? Does NASA know?
Oh, I guess the plan, they know.
The plan is always the entire time. Like, if
SpaceCom knows.
Yeah.
So it's the SpaceCom is who runs the show. Now.
Right.
Yeah.
Space Force.
Space
sure.
Com.
SpaceCom. So they say that, like, look, we want you to go to Mars to
send a message
from you. Like, maybe if he hears from you, this will, like, get him to start talking, because he's not responding to anything.
They suspect that
I don't understand why they needed to send him to Mars.
Because Mars...
They said that's the only line of communication.
But all he did was read a prepared statement. Couldn't they just send the prepared statement to Mars?
Oh.
Couldn't they just send audio? They could have just recorded that onto
Sent him an MP3?
Right.
Sure. Sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
That's fair.
I just kind of ruined the whole damn movie. Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah, right. So, but
I guess maybe that, I mean, it takes a lot. It took, I think, 18 days to get from the moon to Mars to send that message. I'm thinking maybe they needed him on the fly to...
Well, I think there was a time frame as to, like, when they...
But they could have just recorded
it
and sent the recording. Like, why...
That's true if he always is going to read the same script, which I believe they show him. But if the plan had to change, they maybe didn't have 18 more days to relay the message. I mean, maybe they needed him there in case they got a response and they were going to have further communication. Because we're jumping ahead, but things don't go as planned for their plan.
No.
So I think maybe they needed it to be more malleable, and they couldn't have with a recording, but I totally get what you're saying. But they choose him after he proved himself.
I gotta tell you, that was dope.
That was an awesome scene. I saw this in IMAX. I don't know if you guys saw this in IMAX.
No, I did not. That's a good call.
This was awesome in IMAX with the big screen and the super loud sound. I mean, I was sitting close to it, you know, so I could see the whole thing, but just barely, you know, so I'm like in the movie. And
can I tell you what drives me crazy about that is they still put things, I still get the black bars on top and bottom.
Well, yeah,
if
the whole movie's not filmed in IMAX, they just have certain scenes that expand.
Right. Like Ronnie's, they do it all the time. Like, even in, like,
they don't close the curtains?
They've gotten lazy but pulling the curtains.
Oh, they're supposed to move the curtains to fit it.
It's so annoying.
That's dumbed up black bars. Yeah, they're just being lazy. But anyway, this scene, so before they call him in, he proves himself. Like, he's just working on a big satellite. He's not even, like, out into space. He's just,
It's like this giant space ladder.
It's like a space needle.
Yeah, that goes almost to space.
Yeah, because he's not outside the atmosphere. There's gravity there.
There was at one point where I was like, why is he falling?
Right, because at first you think he's out on a space station, but they show it, and he's just, and they call it like an antenna. It's a space antenna, and that's what talks to the moon and these other planets from Earth. And so he works on that, and then
there's an accident.
And there's a surge. These surges that are coming from Neptune, one of them hits, and so there's an electrical surge. It sends, like, these big cranes falling, and it's killing other astronaut workers around him, and he stays cool. He detaches himself, moves to the side. Eventually, he ends up getting knocked off, but most people would black out if they're tumbling to Earth like that, and he's talking to himself, stay calm, and we find out later his heartbeat never went above 80 as he's free-falling to Earth in a tumble. Like, so that sets up his character, and he ends up being able to pull his parachute, and he makes it down to Earth.
And even the parachute gets, like, pieces of debris
and
gets torn through.
He lands without being injured. In the next scene, he's walking like there's no injuries. So this guy is the best at what he does.
Right.
And so they're like, okay, we need to send this guy out on
they say that, like, it's... They know who is on the other end of that, and they're like, look, he's not responding to us. Yeah. Maybe he'll respond to you.
Sure.
So he goes...
But I think he also proved himself capable of going on this mission, because... They keep bringing up his heart rate.
Sure.
He's able to go on this high, because this is a classified, highly sensitive mission. They're basically saying these surges, if they keep up,
are going to destroy
life as we know it.
Right.
Like, Tommy Lee Jones is going to kill humanity.
Or whatever's happening on that station needs
to
stop.
Right, which, yeah.
He goes, like, look, you're going undercover, basically. You're going to go to the moon first, and you're going to hook up with this thing, and you're just going for, like, an exploratory mission. That's all you're officially doing.
It's an undercover mission.
Yeah, basically.
He's flying commercial to the moon.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. But,
I get a pillow and a blanket? Sure, that'll be $25,000.
Yeah, $125.
No, right? He's like, boop, fine.
But that's the part where it's like, it's just enough outside of reality where you can totally believe this, that where if they did colonize the moon and people are taking commercial trips and everything, it's like, yeah, it would be like this. It'd be like flying in an airplane, and you can got the flight attendants and all this. So I really liked that. I also, once this ramped up, so I didn't, of course, watch the previews for this, and so I just knew it was Brad Pitt's space movie.
Yeah.
And when they told me it was going on an undercover mission to the moon, I'm like, this is awesome. Yeah. I'm like, we're in like a spy thriller type
kinda
space movie.
It's a, it's definitely like a toned down, like, the tone of this movie is very low key.
Yeah.
For the most, even when we get to, like Tom said, they do the whole scene. There are pirates basically on the moon who will take your to kill you and take your stuff and go back to wherever they are go. But I love the fact that there's no sound.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things that I can forgive it in Star Trek. I can forgive it in Star Wars because those are what they are, where they do like, oh, I just heard that thing explode in space.
Right. Okay. More realistic.
But yeah, like there's no sound. And I think that is super creepy.
I love it when it went silent.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But,
except for like the inner mon, like, the
yeah,
inner,
sure. What
inner
he's hearing and everything.
Like that,
But yeah, I really like it. And this did something which, again, I think this always speaks to you, because when it's not that far outside of our present timeline, you can, you'd be like, oh yeah, I could totally see it going that way. Remember with the movie, what was the movie where they shrank themselves?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
The movie that we saw with Matt Damon.
Inner Space.
Downsized?
I can't remember the name. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so it's like, they went to do this, they invented this whole downsizing thing to live a better life and to escape classes because your money's worth so much more and everything's smaller and you can live like a king there and everything. And they still found a way to have social classes, and people were still living in the ghettos and on the outside and everything. And so this is the same thing. There are pirates fighting for resources. There's always going to be subways on the moon, and there's always going to be criminals trying to get ahead.
Right.
And
right.
So they say a great line right when he lands in like the space airport, that he said, you know, if my dad could see this, he'd be appalled. Like, they're doing the same crap that we
I think he even said something like
he'd roll over in his grave,
he'd blow it all up, or he'd tear it all
over. Yeah,
or,
yeah, probably.
You know.
But he's, yeah, and he says that they're doing the same stuff up here that we were trying to get away from, as far as exploring space and having a better life and getting away from Earth. And he, there's an Applebee's on the moon.
Oh,
he walks by a subway. And so, but that's exactly what companies would do.
There's a part
you're
going
to tell me right now, if we go to the moon, there's not going to be a freaking Best Buy and a Subway and an Applebee. You know what I mean? Like,
I kind of want to eat Subway on the moon.
But that's That'd exactly right. how companies would do it.
Whereas, I want to eat a moon pie on the moon.
There you go. So just make sure it's not cow pie.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, I'm not cow. On the cow.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah. So he goes to the moon and he gets on this other ship that takes him to Mars, and we're introduced to all these characters.
And don't forget that he's up there with Donald Sutherland.
Oh, so
who
great.
I'm like,
I love
okay,
Donald
so Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland so
doesn't talk to anybody but Brad Pitt, and I thought he was imagining him until they reference him as
injured. That he can't go.
Yeah, that he can't go because he doesn't talk to one other person, and I'm like, I thought he was picturing like someone to help him keep calm. And
I did wonder.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even thought about that.
I did wonder at some point if this movie was going to have some big twist ending, because it, whenever movies open, like kind of in the middle of a scene with no introduction, like he was when he was on that space needle ladder thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, is this going to be like
something happened?
He was crazy the whole time.
Or
like, it
he's
was
living,
all a dream.
He's
or,
living through this in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I was trying to like, oh wait, is he actually Tommy Lee Jones? Like, is, you know, like, is it one of those kind of a thing?
Sure.
Or, you know,
I love Donald Sutherland. Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
I don't.
I just, in my mind, the only thing I had, this is the future, and things are obviously different with being colonized and having all this space commerce going on. But I'm like, they wouldn't let that old of a guy travel into space. Like, now they wouldn't. Like, he would not be physically.
Did you see Space Cowboys?
I didn't.
Are you serious?
I didn't.
That's a good movie.
Were you able to follow this one, Ad Astra, Space Cowboys 2? No.
I followed it well enough. I was just thinking,
have you really never seen Space Cowboys?
I really haven't.
Oh, man, you got to check that out.
Okay.
That's a good flick.
But I just was thinking he's probably too old to fit. You know, there's a rigorous physical test that they go through to explore space. All astronauts.
But I mean, if it's commercial now.
Well, that's what I mean. Oh. I get that they probably have a better way or whatever.
Yeah.
To, but I was thinking in my head, I'm like, man, that'd be, it was a little tough to grasp that he was well enough. But I mean, they kind of address it
but
to where
he wasn't
after the trip and then going through that crazy experience with the pirates that you mentioned.
Right.
Like, it sent him over the edge. So I'm kind of glad that they at least showed that, like, yeah, he probably shouldn't be up doing that.
I just realized that Space Cowboys is like the Expendables. Like, it's the Expendables of that time.
Yeah.
Because it was all the old action, quote-unquote, action guys.
Yeah.
coming back to do an action movie. Yeah, so he gets to Mars. He kind of takes out, like, there's an incident where the...
So they send him to Mars, and he's...
But that's what happens on this... Doesn't something happen on the spaceship where the second in command has to take over, and he drops the ball?
Yeah. So, okay, so what happened...
I saw this, like, 3 weeks ago,
So after the moon chase, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
After the moon chase, their escort dies, and Brad Pitt takes over, stays calm. He gets to the moon. Donald Sutherland says, I can't go, because he's all worked up. His heart rate's up and everything. He hitches a ride on a scientific vessel.
Right.
And so there's all these people out there performing... you know, different
science.
Yeah, basically performing science. Yes.
They're doing the science.
Yeah. So they're heading to Mars, and they get a distress call.
That's what it is.
And they end up getting a distress call from, and this is a really intense scene. It's like Alien. He's got a little beep, beep device. And
Brad Pitt knows that something is up. Is that going to Neptune? Or is that going to the space station?
It's going to Mars.
It's going to Mars. Okay. So he says, he's like, we have to get to Mars. Like, Brad Pitt's almost on a time frame where he's like, I have to get to Mars. We have to go. You have to ignore that distress beacon.
Well, he says, we're not obligated to pick this up.
And technically Brad Pitt outranks everybody.
Yeah.
And he's like, the captain of the ship is like, Major, but you can take control of this ship,
but you gotta tell me what's up.
Tell me what's going on. And he was just like,
This is a super classified mission, so he decides, okay, like, we'll stop for the distress call.
Go help the people, yeah. I guess.
And they show you the second in command, the assistant pilot on the ship. You can tell is nervous. Brad Pitt says he's scared because he doesn't really want to go check the distress signal. And since Brad Pitt knows that, he's like, I'll go with you, Captain, to go check this out.
Right.
Good thing he did. So this is intense. It's a quiet... this whole movie looks amazing, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great looking movie.
If you thought Gravity looked like it was filmed in space, I mean, this movie is amazing looking.
And I also think it's interesting that this is coming out the exact same time of year that Gravity did.
Yep, I thought the same thing.
I don't think it's any surprise. But this movie looked incredible. Every effect that they did, walking, floating, the planets, I mean, this movie looked incredible. So
this is where I thought we were going into traditional science fiction.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
Yeah, what's out here?
Right.
So this is really cool. So they find out that the ship that they're on was an animal research vessel, and they can't get a hold of anybody that's doing the distress call. And so this is like a good 5 to 10 minutes where it's like them getting out of the ship, going in. They have to force their way in, you know, with an emergency code because they're not answering, and it's quiet. They split up.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Brad Pitt with his little alien detector device, because he's like sensing life, he senses it, and then like something floats by the screen, and you just see the captain, but his back's to the camera.
Correct.
And he's not moving.
He's like, Captain, respond to me. Yeah. Captain, respond.
And you see like blood floating away.
It's almost like, what was the one with Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds?
Life.
Is that what it was?
So.
Like, you get that little droplets of blood.
Yeah, you see blood kind of floating there, and he like turns and moves out of the way.
No. Like the
well, he floats out of the way.
I guess it was a baboon?
Yeah.
The ape.
Yeah.
Like the crook of between like the captain's head and shoulder, like that little curve, like you see his head like pop up and you're like, uh-oh.
And it's like just rage and bloody teeth.
That's why I was like, oh man, like crazy. Now we're going to have like a weird zombie virus. Like that's what we're doing now.
So, I mean, this thing like kind of pushes the captain to the side and he through space, like no gravity, he floats at him.
Right.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt has to fight this thing and struggle with him and eventually gets his gun out.
Can you imagine like being halfway to Mars only to get killed by a monkey?
Right? Oh, like,
it would suck.
That's why you don't stop for those distress if you don't have to know. But so he shoots him and then another one comes out.
Yeah.
And so we find out, or obviously we figure out, that this vessel that was doing this animal research, one broke loose and they killed the crew.
Right.
And that's why no one's responding. And so he ends up getting the captain, and he narrowly escapes and closes the hatch, locks it down, and he has to get the captain out of there, but his helmet is all busted out, you know, like the visor of his helmet is all busted out.
Yeah.
And so he has to take duct tape and patch it up so he can get him out into space to the ship. Meanwhile, the ape is trying to force the door handle on the other side.
Well, that's why I was like, how is he so smart?
Those animals are pretty smart.
They are pretty smart.
Okay.
So we also don't know what they were doing.
That's true.
Could
yeah,
be
right.
Scientifically or like they enhancing.
They could be science monkeys.
Yeah,
science monkeys.
They were on the. They never said it was like human research.
You don't take a regular old monkey into space. You take a goddamn science
if
monkey.
If Superman
into
has
space.
Taught me anything, all of a sudden they become gigantic monkeys and coming back to Earth.
But these animals are smart, and so if they saw the humans do it, they could replicate all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's true.
Science monkeys.
So he is able to close the door down, and he does the pressurized.
Yeah,
you know, he depressurizes it, and so the monkey just explodes. Right. I'm sorry, the ape. I don't want to get
an
the
ape. Yeah, it's an ape. Don't get the, all the monkeys right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, which
especially
is,
just two of them are dead.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty gnarly. But he tapes him up. He gets him back to the ship. You know, he does his best to save this guy, but we could clearly tell, like, this dude's dead.
Right.
His fingers were bit off and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was gnarly.
Yeah.
So now we have to, like, okay. So Brad Pitt's like, all right, man, like, you're in charge of this ship. And the guy's like, hubba-dubba-dubba-dubba.
Yeah, that guy is.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
But I wasn't supposed to be here today.
Yeah, he does like a weird character turn where, like, when we see him later, he's like, all right, man, I'll see you later. I'm going to go pilot this ship with a nuclear weapon on it. See you later.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You know
well,
what I mean?
He like, still knows how to. I mean,
yeah, like, but I mean, they show him in this first scene where he's
scared.
Absolutely terrified, yeah. Where Brad Pitt has to step in and be like, yeah, dude, if you want to sit your pansy ass down and I'll go with him. And then he can't pilot the ship to get him into the thing. And now he's totally cool.
But yeah,
I feel like that's a different kind of stress. Like, I think it's like
he was in the moment, not walking around a station.
Right, like, I feel like I'd be less stressful trying to put a round peg into a hole than having to carry a nuclear weapon on a spaceship.
But I think that, but you've been trained for that. And it's probably something that he does all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe.
It's still scary, but like, he knows how to do it.
So you don't think that he knew how to pilot the ship?
This guy was like, if I screw up, everyone's dead. That's a lot of stress. In the moment, he had to act. The ship had a surge and it's free falling to the ground and he froze. I mean, it's just, that's adrenaline and like fear and. I thought it was very believable, and we already set up that this guy was scared. He's scared.
Yeah.
He's a scientist. This guy, he's been trained, but he's a scientist. He's not a fighter. You know, he doesn't have the skills like Brad Pitt does for combat and everything. Like, this dude is a scientist.
All right.
And when push came to shove, he got scared and he froze up.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt just snaps into action.
Yep.
He takes over control because he tells the now captain, he's like, after the surge and the ship is going down to Mars, but like without thrusters or whatever, like it's just free falling down fast, and he's like, you got to take control, it's tilting 20 whatever degrees,
we're too far off,
and he
compared
doesn't do
to
anything.
What it's tilting however many degrees, you're in space compared to what?
Well, he's landing
right. So, the thrusters are all off and it's like
the ship was tilted like this to land and he couldn't figure
out how to get it.
So Brad Pitt takes over, equals it back out,
and
it
like
a perfect landing.
And Brad Pitt, to his credit's like, that didn't happen.
Yeah. He's
like,
cool.
He's
being cool to these people.
Yeah, he is.
For as good as he is, and, you know, he's a very emotionless and, like, upstanding person who just cares about the mission. Like, he saw this dude, and he understands that guy isn't emotionless like him. And, like, he froze up, but he's still a good guy, probably. You know, he's like, I'm going to not call this in.
He's like, this isn't going on in my report.
Yeah.
Basically. So he gets to Mars, and he sends two professionally written memos, basically. He records them, they send them out, no response. Finally, like the third one, he just says F this and just starts talking to his dad,
right,
like as a son would talk to his dad. And then there's
the guy with the long hair and the beard, you know, the guy that's in charge of his recording or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the bad guy from Far Cry 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's he's funny. Awesome. Yeah, he plays the villain of the game Far Cry 5 called The Father.
Yeah.
And he's the head of this, like, cult. It's this family. You never played Far Cry 5?
Uh-uh.
You dig it. So it's this whole cult.
Is it a cult of personality?
No, they have a lot of personality.
That's
but, like, the sister has these powers, but they're all this, like, just creepy cultish family of all these followers.
Okay.
And that's the cool thing is, so, like, in previous games, it's, like, it's the typical like drug lords and, you know, just typical villains you're fighting. And this one, it's more of a psychologically creepy villain. And but he plays the father in that game and he's really good in it. And I thought it was cool to see him in a big film.
That's
like
fun.
This.
Yeah. That's the thing about these video games is like they start getting actual actors to do these roles.
Yeah.
But we should also say that he meets up with Ruth Negga. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's her name?
Yeah.
Okay. And she's kind of, I can't really tell what her role is other than like hostess.
Well, she's the head of that whole Mars colony,
but they keep saying like you don't, but if she was the head of the whole colony,
she didn't have clearance for that top secret mission. Mars,
okay,
that's why she said I have 14.
You could be mayor of Washington DC but you you still don't get to go into the CIA
that's
offices
fair. That's
yeah.
fair. Smoke crack though apparently.
Well yeah
yeah that's okay.
It was the 80s. We were all smoking crack.
I don't think it was the 80s.
Were handing
I feel
out
like
Pez
that was in
dispensers.
The last 10 years. So yeah, so he sends the message and she's kind of like, and she's, there's something going on with her and you can't really figure out what's going on with her.
Yeah.
She's dealing with something, but she never really says anything. She just meets him and then hands him off.
She
kind
of says, he's like, you grew up on Earth. She's like, I grew up here. Like, this is where I grew up. My parents died and I was left here.
She went there one time and just stayed. She remembers
right.
Yeah. You're only going to go to Earth once. What are you going to do?
If I go to Earth once?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, if you've never been
WWE
to Earth.
WWE Raw.
Like, hell yeah, we're going to wrestling, baby.
What's the one thing you would do when you would return to Earth?
Oh, man. And you're only coming, I guess your only experience like is as a child.
Right, like, if you're going to go to, like, New York, you're like, oh, I got to see the Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty. There's, like, key things.
Hamilton.
But, like, but when you have an entire planet that you've never been to, and you're going to be there, like, for a week.
In and out, in and out burger.
What do you do?
St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis, baby. We're the best. Not really.
No.
That's not true.
No one thinks that. No. No, not even anyone here thinks that.
MLS thinks so. We get a team now. That's exciting. So, yeah. So,
how about the Battle Hawks?
If we were the best, we would have had, like, the first team.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, we got an XFL team now. What more do you want in this damn town? Actually, I think
I want a triple XFL.
Hey,
we almost had it, but you couldn't secure it.
I tried to do the football.
That would have been awesome. That
for like
fun.
A game.
That seemed
been
fun.
Like,
some of those gals will destroy you. Like, have you seen some of those hits that those gals put on some people? Ooh, that's gnarly.
It looked fun from the videos when they were trying to like promote it, and you saw like that's cool.
Yeah. So something happens. Like there is some movement in the recording studio.
Well, he finally goes off script.
Yeah, he goes. I mean, well, he goes off script, but then there's movement.
Well, he's waiting. He's walking around waiting because the transmission takes minutes to get there. They're going from Mars to Neptune, so they're waiting. He's waiting, and instead of going home like every day, he sees them, you know, whispering to each other.
Right,
he's like, oh, something clearly
something happened,
and they thank him for his time.
They're like, all right, we'll see you later. And he's like, whoa, like, did you hear anything? They're like, all right, we'll see you later.
And they're like, you're going home,
yeah,
because by going off script and showing that emotion.
Oh, see, I thought that he responded.
I think
both things happened. Yeah. He went off script, which is what elicited a response. I think his dad was like, you're just towing the company line.
Right.
Go F yourself.
Yeah. Right.
And then when he went off script, then he was like, maybe I'll answer. And then I think
now you're too emotionally invested.
I think there's two things. One, there's the emotional investment, which I don't know. I thought was dumb. That they would react like that because it got them what they wanted, which was a response. They should
have used him, like you said.
Yeah. But could he have?
But we also don't know what the response was.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. I think that once they noticed, because he says, I want to see you again, and the mission is to go kill Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
So you can't have a son say, Dad, I want to see you again and mean it. I mean, they could tell he wasn't tricking him. It was an emotional response. So they can't have a guy go on a mission to kill the dad that says, like, I want to see you again, Dad. So it did both. It completed the objective of getting a response, but it also got him kicked off the mission.
It did. And so this is where Ruth Negga's character kind of says, I can get you on that ship. And then she gives
him... after they won't let him go home because now his heart rate's up.
Right, he can't pass his psychological profile.
So he has to go to the decompression room, and he's mad. He's worked up, you know, because, like, he's screwed up. He's mad at himself. He's mad at the situation. And then she finally, like, he's under a guarded lock and key type of room. And
she's like, she comes in and says, and basically says, my parents were on that ship. Like, my parents were with your dad. And he killed him. He killed my parents. And Brad Pitt's like, whoa, what?
Because we already have an idea that something's up because Donald Sutherland does give him a little video screen with, like, they're not telling you the whole truth. Doesn't it? It shows what he did, right?
He's like, they tried to escape and something went wrong.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's another that Ruth Negga has.
So they hinted at that he knows something is up, and then she shows him
the real footage.
Yeah, he's like, they tried to go rogue, like,
and I killed them.
Yeah,
like they tried to abandon the mission, and I killed them. Like that, the mission always comes first.
We were kind of hinting at it, but you didn't know who the villain was. Like, is Spacecom lying? Is Tommy Lee Jones a good guy, and they're lying, or is he really a villain? But now we know, like, he's crazy.
And
like,
I think don't they kind of say at one point that they manipulate some information that turn him into a hero?
Well, yeah. Though, so instead of you know, history, like instead of reporting back to the public that this guy stole this huge mission and killed everybody,
that's what it was.
They turned
him
into a hero.
Right.
All that stuff that he's grown up knowing his father is the hero, and every astronaut he talks to says he's the best of us and he's the best astronaut ever to live. He's a crazy researcher that killed all his teammates.
Yeah, exactly.
And is holding this.
And we can't put that in the public because it would destroy the reputation of NASA and everything. So he, Ruth Negga says, I'll get you on that ship. I'll get you to point A.
And get you to the ship.
But you got to get yourself on that ship. And I was like, it's something out of Looney Tunes where they like grab onto the wheel and just hold on for dear life. So
this
Brad,
is crazy.
This is
where your science fact starts to blow. Everything from this point on gets a little bit like
a little Black Mirror-ish.
It's cool, but it's like, I mean, if those engines kicked on with that much heat traveling,
he's roasted.
Well, but I will also say we don't really know the mechanism that they're using to propel that ship.
It's in the future, so it could be something different.
Magnets.
Okay.
You also that ship is also launching from another planet.
Yeah.
So it you know, it doesn't have the same, you know, gravity restraints that it would have from here.
Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, and I can't speak 100% on it unless an expert like Neil deGrasse Tyson explains it.
Right.
But I have a feeling he's going to explain that it's BS.
You mean fun killer Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah. He's canceled right now, I think. Yeah, he's the only one I could think of. Okay. Bill Nye, the science guy. But
that's fine.
But this is where it gets a little bit into the traditional science fiction.
It does,
to where
it's
cool stuff, but you're like, good Lord, come on. It was all pretty believable and grounded for what it was, but now it's like he's getting onto the ship at the last minute, right above the thrusters and getting in. And then this is where I have a problem with the character.
Yep, there's an issue here.
This, by the end of the movie, I couldn't get this out of my head. This was the problem I had, where I know not everyone's going to agree with me, but he disobeyed orders.
He did.
He forced himself onto the ship.
He did.
You know, got around all the security measures and everything, and he murders the entire crew.
Yep.
He is the only reason they're all dead.
It is definitely a problem.
They followed orders to subdue him.
Yeah, I mean,
they're the good legal people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but he didn't go on there to kill them.
Sure. That's called manslaughter.
Yeah.
So it's just, I have a problem with him. This is the same. This is the Rock letting the monkey loose because he's his friend.
The problem I have, and it's kind of the flip side of the same coin, is that if he was that determined to go there and basically end his father himself, then their advanced psychological test should have seen that and let him go.
Like, if he's willing to go and double check on his old man, be like, are you really as crazy as these tapes look like? Oh, you are. I'm going to kill you.
He's a loose cannon. This proves it. Like, you don't know what he's going to do when he gets into these situations. Well, he very well could have gone and saved Tommy. He tried to save Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Like, I think at this point, my problem is, and I enjoy this movie, but this is a big problem to me, painting him as the hero, because these guys were going to do the same mission, and he kills them all and does the mission, but it's like that was what they were doing, and they weren't going to be emotionally.
I think the movie tries to justify him doing it because my perception was they were going to go there and kill Tommy Lee Jones, but he went there and killed Tommy Lee Jones, but saved the Data.
Oh, I mean,
I made the same face.
Two wrongs don't make.
This movie didn't really do much for me at all.
It was, but I enjoyed it overall. Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
It's a great looking movie.
Yeah.
And I know, I mean, the people I was with thought it was boring and didn't really care for it, but like, I was totally into this movie. It's just at this point, I'm just not for the hero doing illegal things get good people killed and then calling them the hero. Like,
you kill him at the end.
But yes, like, he should have died.
He should have died at the end.
Yes. That's what I thought. He was going on a one-way death mission, and if he died, I'd be fine. But then it's like all second chances, and he's the hero. He obviously saved humanity. I totally get it.
And now he has feelings.
But
and
it's
he gets Liv Tyler back.
But anyway, so to what he does is he sneaks on the ship, and they realize he's on there, which, because I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, this is a pretty technologically advanced ship. You know when someone opens a door. Like, dude, if I'm on the roller coaster and you rebuckle your seatbelt, they know you like change it. They know when a space lock is breached. So they go back to check it out, and they he says, like, I'm not a threat, but this is, what's his name?
McFlurry.
That's fine. So there's Captain McFlurry, or, you know, Major McFlurry, and I'm not a threat. I'm coming aboard the ship. And so the captain's calling it in, and they're like, you have to go detain him. And so he sends the two other astronauts back there, and they're like, I'm sorry. Like, they like this dude, but they're like, we have orders. We got to take you in. And so they have a big fight.
Yeah.
And
how do they die?
He stabs the one guy. The captain shoots a tank that releases the gas into the air.
That's right.
Brad Pitt's in a spacesuit, but they're not, because they were just launch mode, right?
So the captain actually kills him.
Manslaughter. You know what I mean? Like,
his actions led to the death. He was not proactive. And that's what I was trying to say. He didn't go on there like, I'm going to kill these four people and commandeer this ship.
Right.
Like, it's like an altercation happened and people died during it. He's still ultimately morally responsible for it, but it's not the same. It's from a character standpoint, it's not the same as someone who's like, I'm going to kill these four innocent people
not.
So I can.
No, of course not. But if we live in a world where people have good intentions, it's going to be chaos. That's the
problem. Absolutely.
But I'm not sitting in a court of law. I'm watching the movie.
I get it, but I can't detach the two. I just can't. I like this movie. I don't disagree with you. I did have a problem with that. I like him. I really like his character and this movie and everything about it. But the fact that he doesn't get in trouble for his actions.
Actually, not even doesn't get in trouble, but I mean, he's going to be touted as a hero.
Yes.
Yeah. When he comes back.
I would have much rather had him. I thought he was going to become the new Tommy Lee Jones. I thought he was going to go turn the bomb off, take the research, and now live his life in solitude, but be the new crazy. Like, this whole movie is like becoming your father, sons dealing with the ramifications of their fathers.
Yeah.
And this whole movie, and I thought he was going to become his father and then carry on his work. That would, you know, not sentence him to death, but sentence him to a life of solitude and eventually dying alone,
right?
Crazy and alone, like his dad did. And I would have been much better with that than just coming home, spoilers, and being, yeah, and then getting a second chance with the people you've wronged and learning a lesson. And like, that's all nice and cute, but you also, you don't deserve that.
If he was responsible for the death of those astronauts, which he, I mean,
yeah,
he's only responsible in the fact that he snuck on the ship, he didn't shoot the laser. He didn't like.
He knifed the Asian guy.
He did. That is true. That is. And then I guess the gal, is it the gal that gets the die, or is it all men? Is it all dudes?
No, it's the girl. The lady's on there too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, anyway, all these astronauts die, and Brad Pitt has to. There's a nuclear warhead on this ship, and the deal is like, you go to
the Lima, which is the exploratory mission that Tommy Lee Jones. It's like a space station,
basically. Yeah. And you blow it up. Like, you try to get the dad off of it, but you blow that sumbitch up. So Brad Pitt kind of gets, he takes the, I guess he can't dock.
Well, like, he has to go out, yeah. But that's when it kind of looked like a one-way mission. And that's when I'm like, okay, cool, because at least he's going to die for the mission and, you know, repent for what he's done, whatever.
Right, right.
But he tells Spacecom, he's like, we had an accident, and he explains that he didn't want to kill these people, but they died. But he said, I'm still going forward with the missions. He shuts off communications because it does take another few weeks to get there.
He's like, I don't want your message back.
Yeah.
He basically blocks their number.
Yeah.
That's basically what he does.
But when he does take
his space station, who dis?
But yeah, the Lima, I guess, was damaged, and so he couldn't dock with it. So he has to leave his pod or whatever that transports him from the ship. He has to let it float off into space, so it looks like he's going to die, but he sets up the new nuclear weapon.
He gets onto the space station, and you don't see him set it up. You see him kind of just put it down.
Yeah.
And then Tommy Lee Jones is there, and they have this big discussion.
Well, I saw him. He set it to 2. I don't know what it means. It said 2-1-2-1. He didn't arm it yet.
That's what
he
I did
on
yeah,
the way
yeah,
out,
yeah,
but
right,
he sets
right,
it
right.
up. But
right, right. But you don't see him arm it until after.
You don't
like,
know if he arms it. Yeah.
So Tommy Lee Jones shows up and basically says Brad Pitt, he's like, I don't care about you.
Yeah.
Like, I
after
only care
just
to,
watching the last
after
movie.
Rambo, first Rambo.
If you listen to that one, you understand. But the whole, like, dad saying, like, I didn't care about you.
This I'm one,
like,
though, seems more on par with this character. Where he's just, like,
oh,
if he's willing to leave his family for 36
let's
years.
Let's not
or
be
whatever.
Mistaken. This one was 20 times better. Yeah. I just mean after seeing the other one, and it was, like, basically
somebody's
saying.
Somebody's working through some dad issues.
Someone's saying the same thing, just in a much better, more eloquent way of saying it, but saying the same thing. I'm like, holy crap.
Right, right. So Tommy Lee Jones, and this is the guy that Brad Pitt has looked up to his entire life. He was his hero. He was this national hero. And he kind of says, he's like, I never care. Like, your mom and you
he
were
said,
just a distraction.
I don't care.
I don't want your life. No. That's Varsity Blues. He's like, you and your mom were just a distraction from the mission.
Yeah.
And he's like, the mission is all that matters, and finding this life out here is all that matters.
It's cold.
And Brad Pitt's like, fuck
you.
But
Brad Pitt says, I still love you, Dad.
Yeah, I love you, Dad. And they have this heart-to-heart, and basically he murdered his entire crew.
I think it's heart-to-heartless.
Heart-to-heart, yeah, right. Did he murder? I guess the crew was like, there's nothing out here. I want to go home.
They were deserting the mission. Yeah. And Tommy Lee Jones basically was like, it had been his whole life. He left his family. He's trained his whole life. He knows in his head that there's something out there because he basically just knows we couldn't be alone. And he's like, we're going to find it. And for him, it was a one-way mission.
Right.
And yeah,
right.
They've got families and stuff. And so he's like, I'm not going to let you leave if you abandon the mission.
I'll murder you.
Crazy enough to convince himself that they were like traitors for abandoning it either.
Right.
Even though they didn't sign up for life in space. But he's like, nope. Dead.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
So Brad Pitt does talk him into like, just come with, like, we got to go home. And they get out to they get out on the space station.
I don't know how they were planning on getting back because he sent the pod away and we see that Brad Pitt can't get back
in traditional means. He's got thrusters. So he's just going to thrust himself to the ship.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that seemed like, I mean, it was pretty far away and we see he has to get there through a pretty ludicrous method.
No, I agree. But I mean,
I guess that's all they could do.
Yeah. He would thrust a little bit and he'd go forward
But he couldn't do it anyway. They wouldn't have been able to because there was an asteroid. It was not easy to get back.
No, it was not.
They would have died in the asteroid field. Like they were shooting, there were asteroids shooting at them.
Right.
So he has to propel himself with a ship. I mean, this is where, again, it gets, this is crazy.
This scene was nuts and I loved it.
Oh, it was awesome.
I was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's
totally awesome. I just mean in the science fact part, it's like,
right.
So he's heading straight for the ship and he uses a piece of a satellite
as a
shield.
At this point, his dad like,
well, he detaches himself.
Yeah. His dad's like,
let me go.
And he's like, all right, you fudging weirdo.
I won't let go, Jack.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was useless. Thanks. Yeah. So his dad kind of like floats off in the distance and dies.
Well, if he wasn't dead, there's a huge nuclear explosion happening.
That is true.
And he will be dead.
He will be dead very
soon.
So we do see that Brad, like before they leave, Brad Pitt does arm the nuclear device. Mm-hmm. And he
downloads the data on his phone.
I don't know. It's not a phone. but he pulls a Captain America and he just takes a shield and he propels himself through this asteroid field.
Neptune has rings. Wasn't it rings? Like the rings of Neptune?
No, this was like a meteor.
I thought it was.
It did have rings, but he's leaving that area. He's leaving that, and between the ship and him is a big like asteroid field.
Gotcha.
And they're flying like towards him, and so he has to block himself.
Right.
So the thing propels him, and there's no gravity, so it's just constant momentum. So that part checks out. But like, you know, the shield doesn't get damaged enough. Like he's able to fight them all with that force. Like it was
a little ridiculous.
It's crazy, but it's fun. He lands on the ship, but like again, no gravity. There's no space brakes.
Right.
Keep going. That's why you know the only thing that can counter is thrusters.
Right.
And so he's flying past the ship and he clings on and has a tense moment. Is able to grab on at the last moment. Gets back on the ship and he says he's going to use the explosion of the nuclear bomb to propel him.
Because he doesn't have enough fuel to get back, but
so it's like,
the propulsion of the nuclear explosion should give him enough oomph.
Again, I'd like to understand the science of that a little more.
Right.
How it, his ship
nice can, of the explosion to explode in the right direction,
right.
But just propel him, not explode his ship, but
right.
propel
him.
I'd like to understand it, but whatever. That's
we
how
haven't
he,
talked about hyperspace, but we're just going to worry about how whatever. So yeah, so he takes off. And I think he detaches it. You know, he gets closer and closer to Earth. He detaches a piece of the ship.
Yeah, I mean, it just from there, he's just back on Earth.
Like, he's just coasting.
And then
it's great that he was able to aim in the direction of Earth and have the propulsion of the nuclear bomb land him straight to Earth.
Right.
He lands, and that's kind of how it ends.
Maybe the ship had some sort of homing device.
Yeah,
oh,
probably.
Maybe.
It's very technologically advanced. Sure.
With no insight. Like, again, it's a complaint I make all the time. We're writing their screenplay.
It just seemed very convenient. But, space monkeys and
space
technology.
Yeah, exactly.
Science monkeys,
they were space monkeys, but
you're
I don't want
the band Space Monkeys with the hit song Sugarcane.
So he lands and the people rescue him and he's a hero
and the military is like, yay,
and he gets his second chance.
So he ends up like his father, a hero because the government's going to lie about him.
Well, that's the thing. Does the government know what happened? Does he say
they know? Yeah, he told them.
Okay.
They know.
And he does. Then the government's like, yeah, I guess you're all right.
But then also, he saved. I get he saved the world. I just was like.
So was Tommy Lee Jones was sending the pulses?
So something happened.
The Lima space station.
There's something that was broken on the space station that was sending the pulses.
Okay, so he wasn't trying to destroy the planet.
I don't think so.
He just wasn't going to.
He wasn't going to fix it.
He wasn't going to fix
it.
There was a problem with the space station that was sending the pulses, and it was like they were.
I just find it hard to believe that with all their technology, they had to send a ship to get next to Neptune to blow it up. They couldn't just
shoot something at it?
They just couldn't shoot something at it.
Yeah.
It takes the fun out of it.
I mean, if you can shoot a spaceship, why couldn't you just put a nuclear bomb on a ship and run it into it?
Or,
I mean, I totally get it.
We have drones now. Like, we have drones in 2019. Are you telling me that in 2045 we don't have a drone that
we
can get all
the
way?
Space drone.
Yeah. It's,
but yeah, I think it's a one-man show. And
I thought it was a really cool space movie.
It was a cool space movie.
I really enjoyed it.
I could see the detachment and, like, but to me, like, that character becomes attachable when he realizes what they're going to do to his dad.
Yeah, I didn't have those same complaints. I was just speaking for others, and I get how you could be feel that way about the character because he's so detached. But I really liked it. And again, I liked him. I was rooting for him until up into the end. I really liked his character, and I think that he was dealing with a lot of crap. And he kept it pretty cool throughout the whole thing until the whole daddy issues came up.
Yeah, right, right.
I felt like him getting screwed over, I felt that. I felt bad for him being screwed over because he was the best man for the job.
He was.
But I wish he would have handled it a little differently. But what a cool ride. I personally, I know you guys like Gravity. I like this a lot more than Gravity.
Oh, no, I like Gravity way
I like
more
Gravity
than this.
Way more than this. Yeah. I found this kind of boring.
Yeah.
I can see that for sure.
Yeah.
But
it's a great looking movie, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there you go.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join our group called the League of Show Sharers or swing on by Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Google Play, and be sure and subscribe so you get an episode every week. So, or I guess typically you get two episodes every week.
Ooh.
Also, our Patreon account, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, lots of bonus content, and you get to just kind of help us out with some of the costs that come along with an endeavor like this. So that's it for this one. I'm not sure what to do next week. It's
that's stupid, Abominable.
Or the Judy Garland movie.
Oh, no.
I say we make Josie the Judy Garland movie.
You are
movie.
Out of your...
That's what I'm
You'll find
for.
A guest. I'll tell you that right now.
So, anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, the gravity drive pulls the ship into a black hole.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.